You're listening to Sound Poetry. I am your host, David Gilmore. This is Sound Poetry, Radio Tacoma, KTAH 101.9 FM. I'm your host, David Gilmore, and today we are going to be regaled by some exciting poetry of a Suquamish resident, Thea Swanson. She's lived in the state of Washington for 18 years. She's had an MFA in writing from Pacific University in Oregon. She's founding editor of a journal called Club Plum Literary Journal. But besides that, she's an experimenter. She's worked with hybrid forms, and she has done flash fiction collections, one published in the Ravenna Press in 2017 called Mars. Another flash fiction collection there and here was longlisted in the Tarpaulin Sky Press, if any of you know of that unusual journal. It was the 2020 Book Awards. She's also a finalist in the 2020 Best of the Net. So some of Thea's work is done online. She's published in online journals and in paper journals, unusual ones to my reckoning. They've appeared in places like Pithead Chapel. Maybe you haven't heard of that one. Chiron Review, Spillway, and one that you would be familiar with, Northwest Review. And so I think we're going to start quite quickly with Thea's reading. Welcome, Thea, to Sound Poetry.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
And thank you for sending such a generous number of poems, most of which that you read we'll be able to, I think, embrace in the time that we have. If there's some left over, we're going to do a program in the near future, which will be a sort of anthology of pieces. So we may have to curtail one or two and add them in the anthology later. How does that sound?
Sounds great.
But you have set a little program for us here of 9 poems. And I think the listeners are going to be taken on quite a roller coaster ride that is an emotional and psychic trajectory of parts of your life, parts of your younger life, relations with family, marriages, etc. And I think that we should just start with your something that I think is a keynote of many of the poems that I've read, called Rage. Would you start reading, please, for us? And
yes,
looking
yes.
forward to this so much.
Okay, thank you so much. Rage. I felt yours once. Drunk, you flicked on my bedroom light at 3 a.m. and tore off my blanket, pressing your forearms into my shoulders, my secret boy, the impetus. Or was he? Turn around. Let's head back on your trail of anger. There are so many forks, trampled or hidden or strewn with dead things. Pieces of you. Mom, let me seethe on your behalf. Let me subsume your father's rubbing, your men's fists. Give me the pen. I will sign the applications you weren't allowed. Shimmy off the hospital bed. He will carve the T into my abdomen, my flesh poor and worthless. Kick me your high heels and toss me your short shorts. Let his lust be my currency. Sit. I shall add these injuries to my own, swallowing hard the inequity as I scrub porcelain for decades, growing rigid knobs packed with grievances. No, I don't cast smiles to the room. My fury is sewn into my sinew with needles of carelessness and self-regard. I hold the details close because I am a woman of a certain age and I tread my trail with caution. One fact I will disclose. My sons know the feel of the toilet brush in their hands. Sit, Mom. Let me bring you tea with sugar and milk.
Thank you. It ends with a note of kindness there. I take it that there's a calming down. But throughout, I think the language gives away a great deal of the emotional force. I like very much the sewing and sinews. What a lovely combination of words that is. Yes. Well, very good. So you listeners already hear that there's going to be emotion. There is going to be psychic grievances, you might say. And so we'll continue. One called Cancer.
Thank you. Cancer. I did it to myself. Yes and no. Yes, you smoked for 60 years, and no, you didn't ask your father to touch you or your mother to pretend she didn't know. Yes, you chose bad men, and no, you didn't know what a good man was. No, you didn't walk among the uplifting. No, you didn't know all that you were or could have been. Remember that time I visited? Before you knew your lungs held tumors, you were a skinny thing. At least my figure is good, see? I nodded, knowing this wasn't quite right, knowing there was less of you, knowing you still did not know all that you are. I want to mention that this is forthcoming in Drunk Monkeys, an online journal that does lots of promoting film and books and poetry and fiction. I'm not sure when it's coming out, but it's coming.
Right. I have seldom heard of some of the journals that you mentioned. I did look up Pithead Chapel and others, but Drunk Monkeys is a new one to me. Your choice of publications like the Verdad Journal and some of the others are quite surprising. I did discover that they seem to look for not experimental writers as such, but writers that have perhaps a hybrid approach to poetry, not just poems in lines, but also in prose fiction. And you do have some that are going to be read of the prose. When we come to those, perhaps you can describe that a little for listeners who are maybe not quite so familiar with that form.
With prose poetry, sure.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
But Cancer, part of looking at poems on the page is, of course, to see some of the graphics, for example, italics. In your reading, unless you dramatized by putting the words spoken by another into another kind of tonality, mm-hmm. Maybe readers wouldn't know, I did it to myself, and at least my figure is good. See, things like that don't come across always as ideas spoken by another, or they might be thoughts in the head of also the writer. But let's say that there's a great deal that can be enjoyed again by looking at your poetry on the page in its form, mm-hmm. In the way that it's expressed through syntactical graphics and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we're going to go with another poem that goes back into your past life, taking it as a memoir of an experience. You took us to see Kiss.
Yes. And I think I want to mention that this group of poems that I'm reading, the first, let's see, four or so that are about my mom, I found it necessary as I was writing a number of poems for the first time in my life about my relationship with my mom, that at the end of them, I needed to write some of these, which are showing, I hope, something a little softer, something a little nicer, something that she may have given me, or some way where I'm saying, hey, I get it. I know things were hard, because there's a bunch of poems that come before these that just maybe show my pain.
Very good. Yes. I think that's good to mention. Yeah. But this poem does fit that idea of it's a little joy, a little memory of something that was uplifting in the way that it has cleaved to your memory. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. You took us to see Kiss when I was 9 on a bus, a gift for my brother. Up in the orange, I worried over older boys behind us, passing pot, your chuckle rendering me safe. You owned 3 LPs and 2 45s, and these traveled with us in boxes, apartment to apartment, before we all left one another. Sometimes you would sing, not a whole song, but a line, before sinking back into yourself. Tall and lean and dark and lovely, I tripped, leaving the couch, wearing my new legs. So you crooned, always a fan of the underdog, when I was still yours. Once, when you and Linda chatted in the kitchen, the air still light, your eyeliner still in its sheath, I lowered the turntable's needle, the crackle preceding Dolly chirping, here you come again. I performed silent karaoke, your wig and big earrings on my head, your bra stuffed with socks under my shirt. You both paused, heads peering, gentle smiles urging me on, my eyes watering, my heart not understanding why my bottom lip quivered.
Yes, perfect following your explanation there. There seems to be encouragement. There is enjoyment from the parent and friend. And yes, that one really does have, is to music and the enjoyment of music and your participation in a way to entertain as children do. Yeah, wonderful.
Thank you.
I hope that one will resonate. Because I think you're going to find a few monsters appearing soon, and that you can prepare yourself for another kind of trip here. I think of you in the past tense.
Yeah. This poem, I was thrilled to see it accepted by Spillway. And I want to note that they are, that this wonderful journal, Spillway, is published by this great organization. And I actually asked them how exactly to pronounce this, so I said it correctly. Teapot Bach, which means, I believe it means little teapot. And it's this organization that fosters community. And so I was very happy when I received this lovely acceptance for this poem. So here we go. I think of you in past tense, a museum of misfortune, monstrous artifacts pinned upon entry, your life, an archive to use as a measure of caution, a measure of my success. Look what I've overcome. But today, when no one is looking and no one is ever looking, I am sneaking past the displays of apathy, dodging the collections of criticism, and unlocking a repository of forgotten fragments. Here, 1981. Daughter's eighth grade graduation dress, pleated, powder blue, proof that you planned ahead. Weighted, the brittle fabric cradles your burnt orange lipstick and blush that you applied on my face, that I wasn't sure how to feel about, and wiped and blotted while in line to the stage, hoping you wouldn't notice the lessening of you. Further examination of the faded remnant reveals two sprigs of baby's breath, dry and so light they could be breathed away. When new and white and green, though, you had tucked them in my hair. And here I pause and ask myself again the question to which I know the answer, the question and answer that burble out as a fully formed pair. Whose fault is all of this? No one and everyone. And so, is it time? Shall we move the neglected finds to the great hall? Shall we house the horrors in sealed boxes, historical significance cataloged? Hidden in a corner, one relic balances on the edge of decay. Circa 1989, where, in a supermarket, you push a cart ahead of me, and you click your heels in the air, and you sing a little tune, my mother and me right behind, molecules of joy, your daughter sample, carrying a subset of the original as I go through my days.
As we go through life, it is hard, no matter what our parents present of themselves to us as models, examples. It's very interesting how we do actually follow in their footsteps sometimes, just because of our naivete, our innocence. That one, I think, in its conclusion is very delightful in the way that mother and daughter seem to be in tune. Yeah, pushing the cart.
Yeah.
One, a big cart, and perhaps you with a smaller cart. Sometimes is the case. Yeah. So do you often think about that in yourself? How much of my mother have I inherited, or how much do I imitate that exemplar that was shown me? Do you think of those things?
Well, I've spent much of my early life not intentionally, or maybe even just because it's who I am, being different than my mom. So I learned how not to do those things. If she would do certain things, I would know, no, I won't do that because that's dangerous. But with that said, the things that there are lovely things like humor that we shared. And I'd say that's the biggest thing, humor and heart are the places we connect.
And music also plays a part sometimes. We become inculcated through the playing of the music that our parents enjoyed.
That's true. I've always been a music lover, and she, though, as I mentioned, had her few records. I can't imagine a life without music.
Right. But then your life changed. This goes from childhood and a reminiscence to past life as an archive museum. Mm-hmm. Now you go on to another stage of your life, away from the parental care, West 10th and Bleecker.
Mm-hmm.
This one takes us quite a jump into a more mature life, right?
Yes. Okay. The next few poems, completely different stage of my life. everything new and wonderful in my early 20s. I had some successes. Yay, I graduated from Buffalo State College with my English degree and my new lovely husband. We went to New York City from Buffalo, New York, and we had things we were going to do, but things went sideways. And I shall read about that now.
Good.
This poem is called West 10th and Bleecker. If any listeners here actually know Manhattan, West 10th and Bleecker is a hip area. That's the lower west side. And we got an apartment there. And it's one of the places to be if you're going to be in Manhattan. So here we go. West 10th and Bleecker. Shoulda, woulda, coulda, did. In Simon and Schuster, I jammed my foot in the door. A big step for my kind, assisting editorially on a tax guide, but still. At home, we lived tiny with roaches and mice. I wrote things and stuck them in envelopes and once took a train uptown to pluck 5 copies of The Upper East Side Resident from the box on the corner to gander at my byline. My new husband went sideways, laying down his new school saxophone and picking up a churchy apple in this city of all places that he handed to me. It tasted foreign, like community, like ritual, like wide and high, like stillness. I swallowed it whole. I learned to cover my head. I learned to stand for hours on the left, husband on the right. I learned to burn away my dreams in flames of floating wicks, ancient gold-leafed gazes staring back at my blind belief. How many hours can a full pair chant an idea written by men? Years of ours, lifetimes of ours, until their dreams are bones. Yesterday, I Googled West 10th and Bleecker. The intersection is as it was. I have a photo in a paper album before smartphones of us exiting our apartment there before we fell. We were so beautiful and ready. I will call the Street View Google team. I will beg them, eyes upward, with the faith of a fool. I will beseech them and ask that they superimpose the couple onto West 10th and Bleecker forever, so that anyone who visits will say, yes, it's true. They were there.
So a demarcation in your life with transformation, metamorphosis, transformation, play a big part in a lot of mythology, but also in poetry. And here you are actually charting changes and also attempting to record significant moments of the change. It's a very interesting poem, the way that it goes through a circuitous line, almost having in it the need to record, to have something of this time that could be pointed to. Is it at that time, were you afraid of transformations that were going to take on unusual turns, that you wished to have this sort of focused on and cemented?
Interesting. I wasn't afraid at the time. I think that's what you asked. No, at the time I was not afraid. And are you saying afraid of what I chose to do? Afraid of my choice?
The transformation that you were aware of happening does not appear to be one that you had a lot of choice in.
Gotcha. I think what you're seeing is regret.
Yeah.
At the time, I was not afraid. At the time, I did swallow it whole. I did love the community. And the ritual was new. So there was this newness. And, you know, when you move to New York City, if you haven't been there, I should say one may feel in the middle of these hundreds of people who walk by you very quickly, you may feel lonely. And though Buffalo, New York is in New York State, it's much different than New York City. You know, you're there, you're everything's brand new and you're taking all these chances and risks and everything's going well. But walking into this huge cathedral with open air and these warm people, it probably everything just happened at the right time where it felt like, oh, what a nice place to be. I'll take this. Unfortunately, it took over my world and our world in ways that ultimately I rejected. So that's interesting that you say it's a way of documenting, because, you know, it is, because this is the first time all these years later that I have put these thoughts on paper. So this is a vulnerable place to be, to put this on paper, to air this today, to speak to you about it is a first.
Now, transformations, there's the beginning of a great transformation in your life. And now we have yet another poem that is called Transformation. It's not a metamorphosis as such, but it's another change that is significant. And I think this one will give people something to think about, something that will resonate. And I'm not going to ask you to explain it, but let's see what the listeners can make of this.
Okay. I want to mention, too, that this one is forthcoming in a literary journal called Adana, which is a journal for women, about women. Men can send in works, too, and get published, but that's the subject matter for the most part, generally speaking. Transformation. No ceremony for me. I was the one who changed ontologically, watching my husband's priesthood elevation, gold threaded dresses adorning a swarm who claimed servitude on a stage. My purpose to please. In a heavy discount skirt and bound head, children in arm and at knee. Mom, remember when we arrived at the dive bar? Me in my black mini, red lips sticking to a cigarette and indifference to every man in the room. You're not playing the game, you observed. A drinker ambled over, got a good look at my supple skin and lined eyes. You look like you stepped right out of Playboy. Hey, you said, that's my daughter. There are many rules, but one game. I wasn't your antithesis in any of my manifestations after all. Flip a coin. There is only one, forged by man, heads or tails, whores or virgins, servant or servant.
A good twist at the end with the two words, servant or servant. Not a lot of choice there. Yeah. And to have the servitude of the women in the first part. So, but the transformation there is interesting, that you have this flashback to your mom and an incident in a bar. Yeah, and showing, gosh, how different from the priesthood elevation. that you begin with. No ceremony for me. Very good. I'd love to spend more time too. Let's go to a form that maybe others listening aren't familiar with. Do you want to explain a little bit about the prose fiction that shows up in, Pithead Chapel likes to have somewhat adventurous hybrid forms, writing that doesn't always fit with what people think of as, say, poetry.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So prose poetry, it is one of these hybrid forms. I'd say that probably upon listening to it, you wouldn't be able to tell, possibly. But looking at prose poetry, it might just look like a paragraph. And I understand why it would. And that's the biggest difference, is that it doesn't have broken lines. And the lines just are all together, no breaks. Where it meets poetry that you might be used to, line poetry, and many places that you would find your traditional line poetry, insofar as you have metaphors, you have repetition, the enjambment that occurs with broken line poetry, you hear it when you read it, even if you don't see it on the page.
Go ahead. We'll see what we make of this.
So this one is called MFA Introductions, and this is forthcoming in the August issue of Pithead Chapel, which you had mentioned. MFA Introductions. "Give her a beer," he said. I wore a grandma sweater. A straight barrette clipped back my hair. I had mentioned my three young children, my clergy husband. I didn't say I had bounced in a club mirror, Alabama slammer dribbling down my chin. I didn't say I leaned over a rooftop, a junkie plunging me from behind. I didn't say that number 13 is notched on my chest. His crew chuckled. I glanced over the wool at my neck, a blaze igniting inside my surprise. The beginning of the unveiling. Women disappear under many layers, sometimes knits and pearls, sometimes eyeshadow and semen, sometimes the laughter of ignorance.
Yes, that's a very good example of how something that might be thought of as a part of a prose work still has implicit in it and explicit, with the sometimes, that kind of anaphora, as well as the I had, I wore, I, you know, those repetitions, of course, are part of the anaphoric rhythm of poetry. But what you say in that could very well be seen in a piece of a prose story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you know, and in that same way, that fiction or nonfiction can be lyrical and have repetition and playfulness and surprise, and have those elements of poetry. How often do we sometimes read poetry that is very, perhaps not lyrical, perhaps very straightforward?
Yeah, that's a good point. That's right. Let's continue with the surprising transformation of Phoenix, which is, again, prose poem.
This one, it's one of my early prose poems, and I sent it to this place. I said, oh, let me send it here. Tulip Tree Review was having a wild women contest, and I was happy to say, I was like, ooh, I got honorable mention. And it was nice to get this reception, I have to say. It urged me on. It built my confidence to keep writing the poetry, keep writing, even go beyond prose poetry and start breaking up the lines. So anyway, I guess that's just a side note. Tulip Tree, thank you for accepting this piece. It's called Phoenix. I've thought to thank my adversaries. They told me they loved me while they mapped my demise. They led me to the hot bottom, tiptoeing away, my brain sizzling, body limp, my children I forsook. When the deluge smashed, they who weighted their crafty intellect as scarce as palladium, suckled standby fatherly teats, or stumbled through rubble, mind muddled. I stood erect, wits clear, pervade gray landscape and shed man-made skins decades worn. A dormant creature emerged, beholden to no one. She felt her pulse. She examined her phalanges, her tibias. She cracked her knuckles and rejected all labels. She would please herself and her charges. The kernel of her being rubbed raw and ready. Look there. She runs miles, metatarsals touching down times thousands. See her shoulders, bare to the sun. Free of the yoke of history and liars, songs in her ears, not dirges, buoying her burdens, but electric rhythms carrying her past the sludge of men. One day, these millennia will be named Days of the Veil, but look now, how she beats the ground, how she soars.
Yeah. Really, I can't thank you enough for committing to doing some of your poetry. And obviously, your publications and the receptions of your work by editors that you have told me about, well deserved. And I wish you great success in the collections that you're going to bring out. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so very much for inviting me. I've really enjoyed this.
So have I. This is Sound Poetry. I've been your host, David Gilmore, with Thea Swanson of Squamish.